Welcome to Page 3 of Shopedia. We got a really big show for you coming up. Our producer, Jasmine Cooper, actually has a big show for you this weekend, Saturday, February 3rd. She's having two cabaret shows with her drill team. The Chicago Spirit Brigade is happening at 3:30 p.m. and at 7 p.m. at the Center of Halsted. The theme of the show is Radio CSB. Again, that's the Chicago Spirit Brigade. And to get tickets to that show, to support the producer of Shopedia, make sure you head to chicagospiritbrigade.org/donate. And on this show, we're talking about another show that we went to that we really enjoyed, a play by August Wilson called Jitney, produced by the Congo Square Theater. Now, after Marsha and I had a chance to check that out,
I just couldn't resist talking about it on my way home in a Uber ride. Shout out to Terracelli because he was old schooler, shall I say, and he was very knowledgeable about the jitneys.
So you got a firsthand lesson on what jitneys really are. And then we talked to the executive director, Teron Patton. And without further ado, let's check out this conversation. Did he know you was recording this conversation?
No, of course not.
Let's check out this conversation.
Today we had a show and it was with the director of a play.
Okay.
And the name of the play was Jitney.
All right.
You know what a jitney is?
Tell me about it.
What is it? You ever heard of a jitney?
Listen, young lady, I'm 75. I'm still alive. Everything works and nothing hurts. Now let's get on with the program.
Can you tell me what a jitney is?
Yeah, a jitney is someone who runs a service to deliver people, and they pick up people and go and have a certain route. The jitneys in Chicago was run by a black man. I can't think of his name right now. But he had a jitney services at 75th and King's Drive. Mm-hmm. He'd run up and down King's Drive, transporting black people downtown and back home every day. Mm. And it was called jitney services, okay? But it was regulated by the city, like all transportation. And it was a good business. It was a good source of income. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know why they went out of business, but I think it has something to do with CTA, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. How was the play? I mean, what was it?
So basically, you're a jitney right now.
Well, this is an updated jitney, okay?
Uh-huh.
Back in those days, you had to handle money and all this stuff. I don't handle any money.
And three
See
quarters
what I'm
of a mile.
Mm-hmm. All I'm doing, I'm a driver.
Straight to I-90 mm-hmm. East,
and I'm delivering
Chicago Skyway toll bridge.
A precious package.
A precious. That's what you are. And, you know, for a fee,
mm-hmm.
a fare that is arranged by a third party. It's not between you and I. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm your host, Doma T.
And this is that girl, Marsha. Hey, turn my mic up, Doma T.
There we go, there we go. Like, right. Just like a true
MC. I'm going to repeat myself.
There we go.
And this is that girl, Marsha.
And let's get right into it because the conversation off air has been it's been exciting already. It's been as exciting as the play was. Listen, so we have the executive director of the Congo Square Theater. Her name is Teron Patton. Now, her credits... We could spend the whole podcast talking about her credits. I mean, her film credits include Of Boys and Men, Stitches. She's been on Chicago Fire. She's been on A Different World.
Yeah.
She has been. What else? What are we missing?
Empire.
Empire. You've been part of Black Nativity Productions.
Yes.
You've done work with the Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf Theater, Black Hotel Baltimore, and then went to New York with The Bluest Eye and Steppenwolf.
Bluest Eye, one of my favorite
books.
Yeah,
Toni Morrison. So we did it here, and then we went to New York.
And you are now the executive director
of Congo Square Theater. Yes.
Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Joining us.
I'm excited. I know you, like you said, you was like, okay, look, stop, because y'all just getting, we just jumped straight into
That's
it.
That's right. You know, I started talking about men and all male cast.
Hey.
It was a great,
killing
first of all.
It. Killing
yeah,
it.
They
so,
did an awesome job.
I mean, the thing about it is, you know, how often do we get a chance to see our black men in their world and, you know, behind the scenes? Shirlyn Bruce, which is the director, when she first came, we started talking about the play. I said, you know, it's a classic. So it won a Tony as best revival of a play. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, do we just do another intern? Because you could just do it plain and do it the way that it is, what he wrote, and you're good.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
We didn't want to do that. So Give you a little background about August Wilson and his relationship to Congo Square. So August Wilson was not just a playwright to us. He's our mentor. He's our, we call him our father, because August Wilson is the person who gave us our first money to start this theater company. Wow. So just real Cliff Note version, founders Derek Sanders, Reginald Nelson went to him and said, you know, young group of MFAs, we're coming out, we have a theater company. And he said, yeah, you know, Thundercats, that's what everybody say. Everybody say they're going to do that. Do
right,
it.
Right.
And then come see me. So they did it, came back, said, we're doing it. He said, okay, I see you're serious. Now what's the problem? We can't get anybody to back us. We can't get anybody who don't have, you know, the word of mouth for so many other theaters. He said, well, what play are you doing? He said, well, we want to do piano lesson. He said, whoa, young buck, wait a minute. That's, you know, that's me. You know, you got to be top flight to deal with my language and deal with what I'm dealing with, and y'all are a little young. And they said, no, we got the horses. We ready. We can do this. And he said, well, okay, I want to see it. Uh-huh. Since y'all are so confident, what do you need? And so he gave us our first $10,000.
Wow.
And what year was this?
This was 2000. In 2000. So we were formed in 1999. And in 2000, we did our first season. And Piano Lesson was our first play.
So for people who are in the arts, who have trouble getting backing and getting their things started, or in business or anything, how do you even start without having any resources? Because you had to essentially work for about a year before you got those resources from Mr. August Wilson.
I would tell anybody, and I mean this, and it doesn't matter if you're in the arts or whatever it is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing you have to do is you have to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, our whole season right now is about enlightenment. And, you know, when you're truly enlightened, it says, when you know what other peoples have done, that gives you knowledge. But when you know who you are, that is when you have enlightenment, when you know exactly who you are. So whatever it is that you're doing, you have to believe in it, and you have to find those people who believe in it the way that you do. And then once you get that established in terms of not having resources, what you have to remember is, and it's something that I'm sure everybody has heard, but it is true. If you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
If you build it, they will come. It doesn't matter how small it is. It could be in your living room. It could be in your basement. It could be in your friend's garage. But you have to have a vision. And today, to be honest, what you have to have more than anything is you have to be innovative. You have to think out the box, because it's 17,000 people thinking in the box. Mm-hmm. And then within that box, it's another 17,000 trying mm-hmm. to fund that box.
That's right.
So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's crowded. You know, you it's like being in a pond. It, you know, you in a pond with a whole lot of big fish.
So what is it that you're going to do to make yourself
so
stand
So what is
up?
It that you're going to do? So first of all, you know, identify the right pond, you know.
Yeah.
Identify the right
pond.
Find your tribe. And then once you get that and you get your tribe together, because believe me, standing alone is lonely, is very difficult. And I'm going to be honest, I think a lot of people stop when they're alone because it's just easier to do something else and join somebody else's tribe.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, the Congo Square Theater is a professional ensemble where they work to champion the African-American experience. I'm actually reading this mission statement from your site. Spawned from the African diaspora to enlighten, educate, and inspire everyone. Now, I read something interesting about what the Congo Square is. What is
yes.
the Congo Square, and
so,
how did that become the name?
Congo Square is an actual place in New Orleans.
Okay.
And Congo Square was where, during the 1800s, where New Orleans had a different type of slavery than other parts of the South. You
how
know?
So?
Well, there were a lot of free black people in New Orleans. And so they didn't have a lot of the, I mean, I won't say that, I don't know if they didn't have beatings and all of that, but they, because so many of the people that were running Faubourg Tremé, which is the place where it spawned from, were of the African diaspora, Haiti, of money and free, it was more based upon what the traditional idea of, I don't want to say it wrong. When you give services,
like indentured servitude,
mm-hmm. where it was more that, you know, from their cultures. So Congo Square was a place every Sunday, no matter where you were from, you could come, and no matter what your background was, you could do your worship, you could do your food, you could be a vendor, you could. There were a lot of slaves who bought their freedom.
So just by having that free population, they were able to change the nature somewhat of the type of every,
and not only that, but out of Congo Square came jazz, came modern dance, came the dish jambalaya. I mean, jambalaya seriously was just a group of people at Congo Square, and everybody just had a little something. I got some sausage, I got some rice, I got some meat, I got some, and they threw it in a pot and they cooked it and fed the multitudes. And so that's really what jambalaya was.
You know, I'm going to start using that term, jambalaya.
Yeah, it's one of the things that we do. We have something called a jambalaya series, which is we do a festival every year where we do, other than theater, we do, it's like a multidiscipline festival to honor Congo Square, because we do film, we do comedy, we do dance. So, you know, we have things for kids to do. We have festivals, and really want the community to get involved, because Congo Square is a movement. It's not necessarily something that is stagnant. It goes wherever you are, wherever people come together of different ethnicities and get together and become one, just being human. That's Congo Square. And that's where we called it, Congo Square.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's how long have you been executive director, and how did you come to that position? Because as I start looking you up, I'm like, she could be on stage, she could be directing, she could be. But you chose to run the whole.
Let me just tell you. So what really happened was, you know, I'm sure you guys have been hearing about it. We came to a point in our existence where we were asking ourselves those hard questions, like, you know, why a Congo Square? Why another theater company? Why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
What do you contribute? You know, what makes you different? And we started to, as an ensemble, sit down and really look at that. And me as an individual, what I realized was, and I'm not saying, no, believe me, I'm so confident, I'm borderline narcissistic, but there's so many talented young people coming out. There's so many people that deserve a chance to do what they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I want to be a part of making sure that they have a place to go professionally. That's why I decided to take this job, because it's important. You know, we always say it, we're the beacon. We're the beacon. When you get to us, when you get on our stage, you're like 1 foot away from Broadway. You're 1 foot away from that TV show, because the people who come through us and the shows that come through us, they incubate here and then they get big.
Can you name a few?
Stig Fly, which went to Broadway, started at Congo Square, was written by Miss Lydia Diamond. She wrote that for us and we performed it. Chuck Smith was the director. And then it left us and went to New Jersey, and then it went to Los Angeles, and then eventually it went to Broadway. Sanctified by our ensemble member, Mr. Javon Johnson, started at Congo Square and wound up at the Lincoln Center. Twisted Melodies, which was just done in 2014, which is the one-man show by Mr. Kelvin Rostin Jr. Beast! He's our artistic associate, and he wrote a play dealing with mental illness and the fight against the stigma.
A
one-man show. Wow. Well, it's Donny Hathaway.
It was about Donny Hathaway.
The last day of his life. And it's called Twisted Melodies. So it started here, and then we went to Baltimore Stage, and so we're in negotiations now to take it further, possibly to Broadway, or maybe to London. So we're looking at even going abroad, because that's the other thing about us. We have a local brand, but we also have a national brand.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we really want people to know about us, is that, you know, Congo Square was never, ever meant to just be one place. That's what we say. It's a movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime we can go anywhere, any city, and bring artists together of different ethnicities, different mindsets, different issues, and come together in one place and do the art and talk about these issues and find solutions, not griping sessions,
right,
but really generally come together and say, hey, brother, what do you need? I need this. Okay, I don't have that, but I have this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you use that? Oh, yeah, I could use that. Okay, what about you over here? Well, if you could use that, if y'all could put those two together, I've got this. And so, you know, that to me gets me up in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Because it's really hard in the landscape of what's happening today to get discouraged, because we live in a time where I'm sure you guys know this. Art is actually, I feel, something that is, if we're not careful and if we don't really get the world to understand the significance of what art is, it is one of those things that we could lose to technology, that we could lose to, you know, what's happening in the world and robots and going to other planets. And, you know, if we're not careful, people don't really, I think people think of art as something, one, that's only for rich people. Two, is something that you do when you can't do nothing else, right? So not a profession, more of a hobby.
Pastime.
Yeah, you know, when you say, you know, I know people that to say I'm an artist, it's not something they say. They'll say, I do this, I do that. They'll say all their other side gigs before they will say, I'm an artist. They don't lead with, I'm an artist. Or you're in an environment where there's a bunch of really affluent people. And you know, everybody's going around and they're like, oh my God, you're so charismatic, you have such great ideas and da 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 da. What do you do? And then you say, I'm an artist, and you see the,
and they think that's a code word for unemployed.
They go, oh, you're broke.
He's broke. Yeah. She's broke.
Mm-hmm. You're broke. Oh, you couldn't find anything else to major in. Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. As opposed to in European countries and other cultures where you say, I'm an artist, they go,
wow.
Oh my God. Are you serious? You perform or you produce or you da-da-da-da? What is that like? And it starts there's just this excitement. Whereas I feel like in this country, that's not the case. And so, you know, my own personal mantra is that I really, really want to make sure that our young people who are coming up, you know, they only see one facet of art, you know, the performer,
the painter,
the payer, you know, as opposed to the philanthropist, the person who makes sure that there is a place for someone to do their art. Those are the things that they don't think of, or behind the scenes to be that executive director. And so since I'm from Hyde Park Career Academy, that's where I went to high school.
Shout out Hyde Park.
Come on, HP. you know, one of the things that I really relish about us is that our education program, we have residencies in school and after school. And I love going in there and sitting down with them and rapping, and I don't tell them who I am. And they get to talk, it's nothing, woo woo woo, they don't care nothing about us, and they just coming up in here, and I'm so sick of them, and oh, I just wish they gone, they irritating, and blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, why are you so mad? Because they ain't going to give us no money, and we need money. You know, we don't need speeches. We don't need plays. We need money. And I say, And they say, well, who are you? And I say, well, I used to go to Hyde Park. What? What you do? Well, I'm in art. I'm in theater. Theater? What's that? And I say, well, come see a play. And then they come see a play. And then they're like, oh, well, what do you do with this? And I say, well, I'm the executive director. And the instant light bulb that you see in their eyes, because they go, wait, this you? Yeah, but you raised down the street from me. Well, your mama, you told me. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. And so you bridge that gap, you know, between them and you. And that's when the magic happens.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yes. That's when they are willing to give you their story. They're willing to give you their pain. They're willing to cry in front of you because they see themselves in you.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that art isn't valued in America when America's culture is so driven by art and Hollywood and music, and it's like the backdrop of the president is partially the president because he's a TV star, right? But for whatever reason, we cut from arts programs and music programs in public schools before we cut from anything else.
I think this is just my own personal opinion, I really do think that it has to do with the fact that art is something that has to be introduced early. Mm. It has to be. And the way that it is introduced in our culture is usually like for the affluent, they know about art early.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We don't.
Yes.
Only thing we know about art is the people that are making the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars.
That's due to
we
lack don't, of exposure. Yeah,
we don't have, something in the neighborhood that lists all of the artists that are working downtown or on Broadway that come from 35th Street.
Right.
So they don't see that every day. What they see every day is the bling, the money, the this, the that. And so art, it then becomes fame.
Mm.
And so I think that's the definition. That's where we have to really get back
to. I think on people like Tupac.
Yeah.
If you do a little history on Tupac, he was into art.
Into art. And mm-hmm. he was also into using art as a form of activism as mm-hmm. well.
Absolutely.
You know, he was the one that got a lot of young people to vote,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he used his fame to say, like I say, hey, man, I'm just like you. And this is what I've found.
That's right.
And so this is where our power is. This young generation, not that they don't value their ancestors. They don't know mm-hmm. their ancestors. Their ancestry is not something that is taught to them that it is important. Right now, everybody's being told is you right now. Forget everybody behind you in this moment, you know, instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're a culture that ancestry is being torn away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when certain things come up that happen, that have been happening for years, for some of our young people,
think this is new.
Oh, they finna do everything. They finna tear up everything. And you're like, whoa, this been going on for a very long mm-hmm. time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, but I think art also still is the best medium to bring people together because.
So how can we do this?
We can, I think we have to stop. We have to stop relying on other people to do it for us.
Mm.
Really.
Explain that. Flesh that out.
We're a theater company. We've been around for 20 years. And I think one of the things that we had to come to grips with really quickly was, what can we do without anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
From day one, you guys have to do that.
I hear you.
100.
Yeah. I know exactly what you
what
mean.
What can we do uh-huh. without anybody, you know what I mean, that can make a difference? And so, you know, this ensemble was formed. We got this theater company. And so we started looking at our plays, looking at how we could go into the schools. Those are things that we can do. We can do that. We don't need permission. We don't need, we do need resources. Please don't think we don't need resources. But even in that, go to your immediate source as opposed to outside your source where you're trying to prove yourself and, be in this particular whatever. Go to the people that you know that watch you work hard every day and start small. Start small as opposed to,
It's unfortunate that a lot of our youth, they think you have to start big.
You have to.
They
don't want to do nothing. They want to start at $1 million.
I want it all, and I want it now.
And I want it now.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying.
And then they get that.
But
it doesn't last long.
And not only that, or they get discouraged on their way to getting it.
Uh-huh.
And then they play the, it's everybody else's fault that I can't get this.
No accountability.
Well, talk us through one of the times when the Congo Square Theater may have gone through one of those periods where the money got low and where the resources got low. And you guys had to say, our bigger mission is more important than our current status. How did you fight through it and what was that time?
So that was 2008 when the economy crashed.
Mm.
And just like everybody else at that time, we went from flying high, to we were like, okay, we finna take over the world. And then that rug got pulled from under us and everybody was struggling. And, we had to ask ourselves that hard question. Do you shut your doors? Because the money's not there. Do you close it? And tape, that's when I really knuckled down personally and said, not if I have any say in it. So, you know, just I stopped performing. I started, you know, in the office working with my board chair, and we sat down and really struggled through that time of, you know, and we're honest with people. We can't do this play because we ain't got the money. Do y'all want to see Nativity? Because Nativity was something we started, the holiday tradition. And they were like, y'all got to do Nativity. I'm saying, we can't. But if y'all write letters, if y'all send $10, we can fight to do it. And we had backers who did that. They wrote letters and they sent money. And it wasn't a whole lot, but it was enough to keep us open. And we went to funders and said, you know, and we're just honest and said, we feel that we are a viable organization and what we bring to the city of Chicago is viable. If you could just bear with us and give us a chance to get on our feet. And Chicago Community Trust took that, you know, leap of faith with us and gave us the money to do our, you know, come back and do our show. And so we got back on our feet.
And now look at it. We got Jitney running with more dates added.
Come on now.
I mean, we went to Jitney and the place was packed out. First, I got to tell a funny story. I went to the wrong location because I saw Congo Square and I went to the one on 44th and Lake Park.
That's our administrative offices.
So that's
we have a lot of people that do that. And you know,
I didn't read my ticket. Apparently, I didn't read my email. Not your fault, Teron.
It's
mine.
Fun
but you know what?
You guys.
But I'm just gonna, exactly. but I'm gonna tell you though. It automatically fundamentally goes to why, you know, our newest thing is finding a home. You know, you should be able to Google us and come to the right building.
Right.
Do you know
what
I'm saying?
Yes, we have
a lot of people like, come on, you busy. You like, oh man, I'm going to the play. You hit your phone. You just hit our
name. And you just hit the name
that's
and go.
Just, that's just what I did. You do. And so, you know, we're aware of that fact. But the fact that you did find the right location and come, because sometimes, unfortunately, we have people that
get discouraged
or they're on a PACE bus or you know what I'm saying? And so they can't necessarily. So this is one of the things that we are really, you know, we're focused on is getting a home. But you but come back to your story.
Yes, so I went to the wrong place. But when I called the office, just the passion you could even hear from the receptionist. She was like, oh, no. Well, we want to make sure that you're coming. If you make it.
Exactly.
I was like, I'm going to miss about 10 minutes of the show.
She was like, nope, don't matter.
Don't matter. Come on through.
We're going to send a jitney.
We're going to come on. We're going to get you.
And I get there. And the place is packed out.
Come on.
Not an open seat in the building. The place is packed out.
But the atmosphere, it just gave me this feeling for when I was a child and, and possibly attending a show and just made me feel, you know, it was nostalgic.
Yeah, it was a feeling.
It was very nostalgic.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, like you said, y'all just making my day right now. y'all just giving me like, I'm going to walk out of here. My head going to be so big. I'm going to be like, okay, don't worry about that. Just come to the side and let me get out the door. But, I mean, that's what's up for real. I mean, you came and had an experience that, you know, we can give, you know what I'm saying? And that, you know, that in and of itself, I mean, August Wilson, so I'm sure y'all know, but August Wilson wrote a 10-play series about us, our language, our isms, our voice, you know, things that we grew up hearing, right, in our homes, our grandmothers, the migration, all that stuff, you know, all of our rich history. And he put it in 10 plays each year. So 10 for each every, you know, for every year. Jitney takes
for every decade?
For every decade.
Okay.
So he goes all the way from 18 all the way up to 2000. So Radio Gulf is the last one. So Jitney is the 70s. And, you know, we all know, you know, when we think about the 70s for us, you know, Superfly and the bell bottoms and the, you know, and this, but, you know, come on now.
They were sharp.
Come on now. So
with the leather hats,
come on.
The suede jackets, the platforms.
But,
yeah.
But the one thing that Jitney brings out is that at that time, too, we had entrepreneurs. We had black men.
We had families.
We had black men who weren't out here trying to, you know, I hate to say this, but it's the truth. I'm over seeing movies and television shows where our black men are always, he's a rapist, he's a killer, he's a child, he doesn't do this, he don't take care of his kids.
He's just lazy.
He lazy. Mm-hmm. He a player. Here's a play that has all the richness and all the things that our black men are other than that.
It reminds us of that.
Fathers, uncles, entrepreneurs, mentors, leaders, veterans. It's all of that. Rich, rich history.
Ex-felons.
Ex-felons.
And made us empathize with them.
Do you understand
and humanize
what I'm saying?
Them.
Come
yeah.
on. Like, all of that. You know, if I can't get it this way, I'm going to get it this way. And it was a grind. Like, my favorite is Fillmore. Mm-hmm. When he comes in and he talks about he's had his job for 6 years. Would you hear somebody say that today? Probably not. But back then, for him to be able to say that he had been at a job every day, you know, that pride, you know, that's something that I think we need to see more of. If you're a black man and you've been on your job, I don't care if you are a doorman or you working.
Shout out to them.
You know what I'm saying? You working at Family Dollar. You've been there every day for 6 years. You a G.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You a G. You know what I'm
Straight
saying? Because you ain't knocking nobody in the head.
Right.
You ain't out here
hustling.
You making an honest living, and you got a family at home that you trying to get back to.
Yeah.
Come on.
You a G, a stand-up guy.
I need to see that as a woman today, and I think women and men today, we need to see that. We need to see ourselves like that so that we know that that's who we are, mm-hmm. not these images that are being portrayed of us. I'm not saying that that's not happening in the world. It is. But I think that part of that is that a lot of these kids are just trying to be seen.
And there's a way to tell that story without making it perfect like the Cosby Show, which is what August Wilson did in Jitney.
Oh.
So like, you had all these elements. You had the you had the guy who carried a gun with him all the time.
Yeah.
And you had the ex-felon. But you had all of these people who came to this place, and this is where they worked. This is where they took pride in. You had a man who'd been separated from his wife for 20 years, and he opined over her
constantly.
It's black love in there. And it's not the perfect Huxtable black love,
and
but it's
real.
And
you have the young guy, the baby of the bunch, come in the story, and
he's the one with, you know,
but then he has male role models, the older guys, to try to
do you understand
him?
What I'm
exactly.
saying and that's what, you know, that's what this play is. And when I talked to Sherlyn Bruce, the director, when she got me, she was like, it's a play about the ceremonies of black men. It's the mentorship. It's the legacy of black men.
Reaching back
to make sure, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not just there talking to young blood. Everybody has something that they're giving him. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, do this, man. Don't do that. Or you, whatever. But that that community of that. And, you know, I think if we can just get back to that, and it doesn't have to be something you got to go and start. I'm just saying, just simple stuff. Walk out your house, Ray Ray on the corner, you getting in your Benz, give him that head bob. Give him that, what up, G? Give him that.
That
don't cost you nothing.
Exactly.
You'll be amazed that you getting in your Benz. He see you every day getting in your Benz.
Mm-hmm.
But you just give him that, what up, G?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he'll go, hey. And if you do that every day for a certain amount of time, you can get to another conversation.
Yeah.
Just the acknowledgement. It's not hard. Most of these kids just want to be seen. A lot of these kids are homeless. Mm-hmm. They don't have fathers. They don't have mothers.
They have trust issues.
They have trust issues. And they don't like grown people. Come on. Just let's keep it 100.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like us. Why should they? We have not given them. They don't have that sense of community. There was the Jitney. If they had that, you know, no offense, back in half of them wouldn't be there, because 3/4 of them would have got whoopings from 3 people on the block.
Now explain what the Jitney is, too.
Jitney was before Uber, before Lyft. Jitney was a cab company that was formed by black men in Chicago, not just in Chicago, or from nationwide, but in Chicago. For me, I can only go from my experience. It was up and down King Drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up on 3727 Giles. So Jitney is a part of my history. You know, that's
so how did it work?
So you called the number, You got the
is
number.
Is it a normal?
It's one number. It's one number.
711. You know.
Nope. It's one number. Okay. You know, 312, whatever the phone number is. You start a phone in the phone booth. The calls come in there. Each man would grab them as they came in to keep it fair. So they pick up the phone. I'm trying to go. Okay, $4. All right, green car. And that was it. Mm. They picked you up. But what it was, how it was different than now, and you see that in the play, it was also, it wasn't just, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get your groceries, I'm going to drop you off. A lot of times, like he said, oh, Lord, I got Miss Such and Such. She a Jehovah's Witness now. When I come back, I'm going to know all about God.
Yep.
Because that guy, if you were elderly or if you were with children, he would be with you maybe 2-3 hours, not 45 minutes. He would pick you up, take you to go get your groceries, wait on you, get your groceries, bring them home, take them upstairs.
Right.
Make sure you was good, come back down. Mm. Go back to Jitney. And they would do this all night long.
Now, why was the Jitney created?
Well, it was created because no cabs, no white cabs would come into the inner cities.
Mm-hmm.
So black people.
But that goes to show how blacks got together.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was something, it came out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. It came out of necessity.
And they put money into their own community.
They put money into their community. Somebody had money. He worked at the mill. He had a good job. He had some savings. He bought the building. Once he got the building, build it, they will come.
Right.
He got the drivers. So they had a base. And it becomes a family. And it went on. And it was, like I said, it was not just in Chicago. It was in Pittsburgh. It was in Los Angeles. I mean, if you look at Jitney and look at the history of Jitney, there were Jitneys in every city.
Now, were there Jitneys, did other cultures do Jitneys? Like, were there white Jitneys that were anti-cab industry or something like that?
I'm not going to say I don't know. I don't know if any, but I do know for a fact that I don't think any of them got as big as Jitney.
Because they had the service.
They had the service.
Where I was going with that, what made me think about it, as we talk about opportunity, about starting before you're ready, all of these things, I think about this tech boom happening in Chicago right now. Not too long, I went to a tech event with black people in the technology industry and talking about their ideas that they're trying to fund. And all I could think of as I was watching Jitney is if these people were someone else, Uber would have been invented 40 some odd years ago.
There it is.
You know, and it just boggled the mind as I thought about it.
Well, what happened is, like you said, like you see in the play, a lot of what happened was the changing of the neighborhoods, the buying up of the property. And then on top of that, then they expanded their zones, right? The mm-hmm. cab companies, there was a lot of money. You know, the Jitneys were doing good.
I know.
And so it's just like the lottery, you know, running numbers. Come on now. That's the lottery. Come on. Stop playing. It's the lottery.
Right.
So we had policy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what that's in the play. You know, we was playing numbers long before lottery.
Yeah.
And that was another way that men in our communities, the ones who were making the money, took their money and put it back in the communities. And I mean, I'm not going off the path, but like policy in and of itself, that's a whole nother culture that we need to know something about, because they would do more than just run numbers. I mean, they would do turkey drives. They would give everybody turkeys every Thanksgiving and Christmas.
That's awesome.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they would give birthday parties. They would do things in the community, toy drives. Do you know what I'm saying? So.
Right.
This was a way for the community to support the community.
Yeah.
And we don't hear those stories.
Right.
And so that's why we go out of our way. And like I said, with August Wilson, he tells those stories that you walk away and you realize we have such a rich, rich history of survival and of prosperity. That is the biggest thing. We are not, our culture is not poor. That ain't our legacy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You get what you put in. You put in the work, you get the reward. And that is something that I would like to see us focus more on, especially with our young people. Stop doing the blame game. Don't talk about what nobody else doing. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? What can you do to make a difference? Even if it's just in a little bit of space that's around you. And if we can let that spread, you know, and what we want to do is give those that are artists, those that want to be producers, those that want to be in the business, we want them to have some place to dream about and say, when I get to Congo Square, man, I gotta go to school, I gotta do this, right, I gotta do right. that, because man, I'm gonna be on the stage at Congo Square.
Where is Congo Square?
So Congo Square right now, our administrative offices.
I'm well acquainted with
those. You well acquainted with those. Is at 4434 South Lake Park.
Okay.
Word.
And so we've been residents at the Athenaeum Theater on the north side, which is at 2936 North Southport. That is where the shows are
right now. A beautiful theater as well.
And we are currently, though, looking on the south side. We are diligently looking. If anybody is on this, you know, listening to this and you want to help us find a home, we are open. We are willing. We want to hear from the community because we know we're your theater company and we want to be where you can walk down the street or get somewhere and go not far for you to see Broadway in your own neighborhood, because the South Side deserves that. And there's a lot of arts and cultures on the South Side that people don't know about. Mm-hmm. And I think that the way we do that is we have to shed a light on, you know, the beauty and the just the longevity of arts and cultures on the South Side. So we are definitely diligently making sure that we are going to find a place, we're going to find a home, and we're going to be that. And, you know, at the end of the day, it goes back to what I said, you know, it really is about not looking outside of yourself, because I think that's the game that we all get caught up in. Mm-hmm. You know, what can you do for me? How can you help me? Not saying that we don't need help, because when I tell you we do, we do. But it has to be the kind of help that is the mission that we're trying to do, mm-hmm. not help to control or dominate. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Help to continue the legacy of what we've already built.
Mm. Wow.
You know what I mean?
Now, where can we get tickets to Jitney?
Yeah, oh. I know it
Jitney.
Was extended.
So
yeah, it is
extended
right?
to February 18th. And the more y'all want it, the more I can go back to people and say, look, we need to keep this going.
Yes.
But for right
cast.
Now, yeah, February 18th, the tickets, you can go to www.congosquaretheater.org, or you can call the Athenaeum box office, 773-935-6875. We look forward to seeing you all. It's Thursday, 7:30, Friday, 7:30. Saturday, sponsored by Target, the 2-for-1 Saturday matinees.
Come on, Target.
2 o'clock. Come on, Target. And yes, I love me some Target, because they, no, seriously, they were the other organization
wow.
when we went through it that stuck by us. Target has stuck by us for the past 15 years.
Wow.
Now, I know you don't want to bring your children, but go out and, well, you can't bring your children because
it depends yeah. on the age of your children.
Yeah,
depend on if they know how to act.
Right, like you don't want to bring the one that got to go to the bathroom after 20 minutes.
You're
so
right.
I would say age wise, I would say 12. If they're 12,
but the language.
Well, I ain't trying to be funny,
but they hear it anyway.
Our kids 12,
they hear it anyway.
They saying it. Probably
yeah.
when we're
right.
not around.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. I think
that's
it's
true.
More important that they see it, and more importantly that they go to the theater with their parents.
Okay.
Because that's the culture that we want.
Parental
that's
discretion.
Really parental discussion. If you don't want your kids to curse, you can give them the speech before you go in. Now, every last one of these cuss words that you hear, if I hear come out your mouth, you already know what's going to happen to you, right? Okay, great.
That's I just got chills just hearing you say that. Oh. Yes, Ms. Pat.
Right, right. Okay.
Yes, Mama Pat. I'm
okay.
sorry.
Don't you think that just because I'm taking you, because believe it or not, the conversation that you will have with your children on the way home will be most gratifying.
Yeah.
Because they're going to feel like it opens the door for them. They're going to have questions, mm-hmm. and they're going to want to know.
That's the type of brainwashing that you want to do.
Yeah, that's the kind of, you go out and eat afterwards, and then you talk about it, and mm-hmm. hear what they have to say. And I'm going to tell you something, 9 times out of 10, you're going to hear something, or they're going to ask something, or it's going to spark a conversation
but
that you might have never been able to have.
There's some valuable lessons there.
Yeah.
Some very valuable
definitely
lessons.
Definitely for our young men.
You know, especially with
and our young
women. I know
yeah.
we have to wrap it up.
Yeah, go ahead.
But, you know, on the son who had just got out of prison,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the reason why he went to prison, it's just a valuable lesson to our kids, because it's not what you do. It's
yeah.
how you react to things.
Exactly. And pick your fight, you
mm-hmm.
know. Think before you do stuff.
Think
you know what I mean?
Before you do
think
things.
Before you mm-hmm. think before you do something, because every action has a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And what you do in your youth especially for our black men.
Look towards the finish line.
Man, because it just, you know what I mean? You can just make it that much longer for mm-hmm. you. And, you know, there's a lot of our brothers today that I'm sure would see this play. And I'm going to say this. This is a play that if I had some loot, I would tour prisons. I would tour prisons. Yeah. I would go to other countries, especially countries who don't necessarily know anything other about black men in particular, other than what they see on the news. Mm-hmm. I think there's a huge market for international, for people to see us other than the way that they get to see us, but definitely for prison, because there are some young men in prison that are about to come out, right? And I think this play is definitely something, it's some, as my daddy used to say, it's some fat on the head, you know, that they need before they come back out here to make sure that they don't go back.
And let me just say, it's so authentic, too, to the black male experience, because you watch a lot of plays that try to, or not a lot of plays, but a lot of media that tries to capture what it's like to be a black man, try to make it cool, try to make, but there's nuance in how we articulate our experiences, right? So if a man is telling the pain of his story about his, this marriage gone awry, there's a way that we speak that makes it funny so that we can deal with the pain, because we don't deal with our emotions head on. And that's what I saw in the play. Or even when, you know, I don't want to give the scene away, but the son finds out some bad news, and the way he finds it out and the way he expresses that anger is a way that I could understand, even though it was aggressive, even though it was violent.
Yeah.
And there's a piece of that that I identified with and really understood. So black man, checking this out, you'll feel like it's an authentic portrayal of our experience. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I can tell you one thing too. We have a lot. Our audience is very diverse. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, one of the comments that one gentleman said to me that just really, of course, made me, once again, I got in my car and I cried because I didn't want to do it in front of him. But he said, I used to, when I would see a black angry man, I used to run. I used to want to call the police. I used to want for him to just go away because I didn't know. I didn't care to know. But because I've been coming to see August Wilson, now when I see an angry black man, I want to know why.
There's an underlying reason.
I want to know why.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that giving it humanity.
Yes.
You know, that's when you know that you're doing what you're supposed to do. And if we can do that, you know what I'm saying? It's
Absolutely.
Not, we're not going to fix our differences overnight, and we're not going to fix them fighting or arguing. But if you can come and see a show where I'm black, you white, Chinese, Asian, transgender, whatever, but we all generally sit there and we all have tears in our eyes because it all affects us in our humanity of who we are. Then you've united us.
Had a relationship.
You've united us without saying a word.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's worth fighting for. I'll keep fighting for that.
Teron Patton is the executive director of the Congo Square Theater. You can go to congosquaretheater.org to get your tickets, to donate, to support this powerful institution, and all of that information to be on Shopedia, on Shopedia's Instagram page, on our Twitter page, on wgnradio.com/Shop, is it / Shopedia, or is it just your search for Shopedia?
You know
all
what?
Things Shopedia.
Just
you'll find
WGNradio.com. Click on WGN Plus.
There you go.
Okay, that's right. Get the directives together.
There you go.
Click
that's
on
why.
WGN
see, that's why we need a woman
get
to get
the
us together.
And then, or you could just search on WGN Radio, Shopedia.
Shopedia.
All of our episodes will come up for you. So
man,
check out.
Thank you
all
so
three.
Much.
No,
this
thank you. Thank you all for having me. You know, sometimes you know I was like, oh, they want my old self up in there. Okay.
No,
you know, people don't
want to
hear. People don't want to hear what we got to say.
And we got some dope comments on Facebook Live, so I appreciate you so much.
I'll be back whenever y'all
I was
have
just
me.
Gonna say, you
come
gotta come
now.
Back.
You know I'm gonna come back whenever y'all have me. I would love it. And just bring some people, you know, next time I'll bring some of the performers with me, you know, because to do the shows, because, you know, it matters to them to give them a voice. They, you know, like I said, artists, you know, being artists and being able to look everybody in the eye and say, that's what I do for a living, it means a lot.
Absolutely.
And I thank you all for giving, you know, us a platform, and that you all, you know, you guys could have done anything. So I want to thank you for your diligence in finding your niche and doing your thing.
If you enjoyed this conversation as much as we did, please throw us a review on iTunes. And don't forget to share this interview with as many people as possible. Jump on our Instagram page at CHIPEDIA, Shopedia. Let us know what you think. And if you know anyone interesting that we should be talking to, shoot us an email at Shopedia at WGNradio.com. We appreciate the support. Shopedia.